softly close your eyes and begin with a breath. And let the energy that has come through today just quiet inside of you. Just let it come to a place of peace so that you open yourself. A little another breath, please. Yeah. And find in your breath, as it goes in, find that place inside of you of receiving, as you receive life from your breath, and as you give when you exhale. You give to the plant world with your exhale, and it gives to you with your inhale. And when you breathe purposefully and consciously and you involve your entire being, you can touch places in your soul that we tend to forget about. So let that breath really come in all its beauty and magnificence. And let it be the sacred breath in the sacred temple. And feel yourself just floating on the edge of the physical so that your awareness can be heightened in other ways. In the entourage that's around us, that has been in this room since this amazing room came into being, the entourages have been collecting here. And feel the love that is around us that stays here after we leave, and the parts of that love that go with us.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. It would astonish you to know the length of time that you've been here on the planet in some form or another. And these are the things that hide. They hide so completely behind a veil of appropriateness. It doesn't really serve you to constantly be interrupted by those energies of the past. And so there's always the feeling that perhaps this is it. This is the only life you get. And then on purpose, there's no real proof of those who would come back and touch you on the shoulder and say, well, I'm still here. And so, dear ones, all that I speak about, all that I am as Kryon and represent, is something you trust in faith. But the human condition is changing. And what is changing is the toolkit of wisdom. Wisdom of all of the things in your toolkit is one of the only things that's tied to everything else. It's tied to intuition. It's tied to Akash. And it's tied to something new. And this newness is something you will name eventually. But some have other names for the feeling that you've been there spiritually. A feeling of knowing when things are correct. A knowingness inside you that will nod in agreement involuntarily when you hear the wisdom of the ages that's correct. This is something new that some of you are going to experience, and that would be this. You'll have an evolution of the intuitiveness of truth. And things that will ring with the purity of truth will do so in a way that you can measure Something will happen. Perhaps it will be emotion. Perhaps it'll be a feeling, maybe chills, something else. Perhaps it's just something that will ring in that which is your countenance, that this is correct and for you. Now, this is new in that in an older energy, it wasn't there. Now, women will say, well, I have intuition of that very thing in an older energy. And I will say, not to the degree you do today. And not to the degree that all humans will feel it. For whereas it might have belonged to women, because they have better intuition in general, because of a connection in their brains that's different biologically, it now is available for humanity. So you might say the very physics of the reality you sit in is starting to change. You might even say that things are becoming wiser. Wisdom is an interesting, very interesting study. And if you want to take a look at the wisdom of humanity, it's had a very interesting background, because it really isn't wisdom at all. At the level of the evolution of your consciousness, it is a self-enclosed wisdom. It's the kind of a wisdom that would congratulate itself for being so wise. We'll call this bridled wisdom. We sit in the temple of wisdom. And by the very name temple, it would mean the wisdom of God, the wisdom of the creating source. That source which is above all sources, which involves compassion and love. One of the interesting things about true wisdom is that it's quiet. It's knowing. And it involves more than just thinking. The famous statue of the thinker might bring you to the conclusion that thinker is also wise. It's not necessarily true. He's thinking about it. And so it's almost always connected to the brain. Wisdom is almost always connected to the brain. How intellectual is this person who is wise? I've told you something before, I'll tell it again, in this examination of wisdom. Wisdom without love is nothing. It's just words. Wisdom without the foundation of compassion is nothing. It's just words. Wisdom is the result of love and compassion, working together in a way that examines that which is beautiful, core spiritual truth. And out of that comes the wisdom that you wish you had. The brain cannot give you wisdom. It can give you high thinking. It can give you the illusion of wisdom. But it can only give you what I will call bridled wisdom. Wisdom that is contained in a fence of self-belief. Famous story. Those who wish to open a door. And so they slam their heads against the door over and over and over. The door, by the way, never opens, but they congratulate themselves for slamming their heads. And after a while, they stop slamming their heads and proclaim the door has opened, even though it never did. Some even give their lives to slam their head against the door in an attempt to be part of that congratulations that the door opened when it didn't. After a period of time, they realize the door must be opened again, even though it never opened the first time. And they come back and slam their heads against it yet again. And every single time they do, they congratulate themselves when they're done. And they even talk about the wisdom that it took in order to accomplish the slamming of their heads. This is humanity at its best. This is an old energy you grew up in. You know exactly what I'm talking about. After a period of time, they slam their heads yet again. Sometimes the door has different names. Sometimes the doors are different and they never open. And each time there is a cycle of self-congratulations, there's an acknowledgement of wisdom that never occurred, because it is in a circle and it's never really seen past the human brain. Along comes a person with a key for the door and they open it. And everyone's shocked. And they quickly take that person and tell them never to come back. Because now they're dealing with the devil, with the occult, with solutions that were outside of the reality of anything a human could do. Therefore, they slammed the door and continued to beat their heads against it. The wisdom of the ages comes from a dysfunctional brain set that believes it's wise when it isn't. Congratulates itself for things that don't deserve to be congratulated. We've told you the story, a fool does not know they're a fool. And it's the same reason, for they can be ultra foolish and never see it. And they will walk away from being very foolish when others see it immediately and be in self-congratulatory ways of how they acted, being the fool that they were. The human race does not know it's dysfunctional yet. It is just climbing out of this self-proclamation of what it believes wisdom is. But it's doing it. Unbridled wisdom is complicated, and it's so different from wisdom that you would think is wise. It doesn't belong to the intellectual thinker, dear ones. It belongs to the average human being with compassion. Wisdom takes a new place that you've never even thought about of where it would be. Did the masters of this planet have wisdom? And if so, how much noise did they make? And the answer is none. They sat there and they were quiet. And the wisdom that exuded out of all of them was the wisdom of the ages, and they could look at you and melt you with the love and the compassion. And the result was wisdom. Unbridled wisdom does not come from the brain. It comes from the cells. Then you get into the discussion of what really truly might be inside your DNA. Do you believe in the human Merkaba? An energy field, if you wish to call it that, that is a multidimensional field, if you wish to call it that, that is 8 meters wide. And in this patterned Merkaba, you have studied the flower of life, and you have seen the immensity of the complexity and the beauty of all of this. Then we go on to tell you that this Merkaba is filled with patterning that someday you can see. When you have the ability to observe multidimensional patterns, you will see that which is around every human. And the patterning itself will be diagnostic as to how a human is doing, feeling, how healthy they are, how balanced they are. All of these things, that is coming. But in this Merkaba, I ask the question, how is it generated? Where does it come from? And there would be those who say, well, it comes from the soul. And then you would say, well, where is the soul? And this will lead to many answers, none of which will be true. You're guessing. It's a lot more practical than anything you think. It comes right from that which is your collective DNA. For dear ones, that DNA, that beautiful DNA, the 23 layers that are visible and the one that is not, comes from the stars. And the patterning in your DNA that creates that which is your human Merkaba is sacred. And there'll come a day when you would acknowledge that biology has a place that is part of the wisdom of the planet. And it's not in the brain. It's in the DNA. And in the DNA, there's something else. And we have told you. What is not in the brain that is in the DNA is that which is what you call the memory of everything. You're Akash. Who were you? What have you accomplished on the life? And in that accomplishment of life after life, did you learn anything? And if you did, what do you call it? Wisdom. And so the greatest unbridled wisdom on the planet is going to come right out of the old souls who may even sit right here. It's the same wisdom that the masters would have. It has nothing to do with intellectual pursuit. And it knows better than to slam its head against a door. Unbridled wisdom will be quiet. And out of the depths of the Akashic record, it will pull what used to work, not what didn't work. And it will start having memories that are positive, not negative. Unbridled wisdom will start to understand who it is. The wisest of them all, if you were to find that person, the attributes would be this. Number one, they would be quiet. Number two, they would realize that everything they know is a fraction of what exists. Number three, they would always be ready for things they didn't expect. Number four, they would love unconditionally. Number five, they would have the compassion of a saint. That would be the wisest one on the planet. Did you hear anything about high thinking? Did you hear anything about remembering wise words from the past? And the answer is no. Because the greatest wisdom on the planet comes from that which is experienced. What can you take away from this? This discussion of a new kind of wisdom. It will start changing the way everything works. For with a wiser humanity, they will start changing that which is in everyday life has been the way it has been forever. It starts to morph into something else. The way you do business. Business will start to understand in its wisdom that employees, their human resources, are the most valuable things that exist on the planet. And they must be cared for and taken care of. And it won't be about that bottom line at all. The bottom line, which would have been financially, is going to be how do we take care of those who work in the company? What is it we can do to make this experience more peaceful for them and more productive for them and for us? Until corporations often become large families and you'll never want to leave them. because they take care of you. Is that some kind of a Pollyanna pie in the sky? Dear ones, it's already here in some cultures. What would wisdom look like in politics? And we've told you. We've told you there'll come a day when if one candidate will criticize another in a non-ethical way, you'll drop them because they're non-ethical. If one candidate would then speak harshly of the opponent and call them names, you'll drop them because it's unethical. And you'll see right through it. And you will expect integrity, honesty, and compassion. And you can weigh the two sides of how they believe government should be operated, but you don't have to slaughter one in order for the other one to win. That's going to change the way politicians campaign. You'll find that they can't be nice enough to each other. When you start changing, they'll react. And by the way, you'll see through that too. They're just pretending. Until one or two will come along and mean it. And really like the other one and see the difference between the way they think and not make it the way the world works. It's going to change who is elected. Because the one who is elected will then go on to expect integrity from those he works with or that she works with. It's going to change everything. Because it comes from that which is not the heart, but the DNA. You ask, what have you been through? And the answer is everything. You look at the genders in the room and you say you've all switched them. Each man has been a woman, each woman has been a man many times. You keep trading places. Each one of you has full human experience. Each one of you has experienced the joys and the horrors of life. And in that, it creates a wisdom that could never be generated by the human brain just by thought alone. Unbridled wisdom. What's the difference between that and the wisdom of God? And the answer is this: you're getting closer to what the creative source and the original teaching of the Pleiadians gave you. And that is that there is a connection, a oneness with everything on this planet. Right now, the wisest one on the planet may very well be a tree hugger. Because that person is connected to Gaia and has the wisdom of the ages through the roots that go down to the earth. And as the tree breathes what you exhale, it becomes one with you and you with it. And that which you feel, which is emotion for that which is nature, is the wisest thing you could ever have. And you know this. If you could impart that feeling and turn it upon humanity, you would. And some cry that you can't. And as they will gaze out over the vista of the beauty of nature, they would say, why cannot humanity see this? The indigenous taught this. The indigenous of the planet had far greater wisdom than you do today because they understood the connection with all things. So that's the next step. We speak about your DNA. We speak about the Akash that is there that helps you with the experience that you've had to develop the compassion and the love for other humans. And then the final one is this, the connection with the earth. Some of the wisest on the planet through the ages have been those who are shamanic, who are connected to the planet in such a way that it's hard to tell the difference between the earth and them. And that's the way of it. It used to be this way. And it will be again. As you start to understand the energy of the grids and how these things that you think belong to the earth actually guide and help you. Every single one. Another attribute of wisdom is the realization of how you're connected to that which we call the field. Is it possible that simply walking around the earth, you're connected to things that know you? That there is a coherence between you, your consciousness, and all that is? As you work and walk from A to B, that you feel your hand is being held as you go, and you think, well, that's God. Maybe it isn't. Maybe it's God in you, connected to all that is on the planet, working together for you. And you'd stop for a moment, and you'd say, how wise am I to know these things? And then you'd be quiet about it. Dear Christ, if we're going to be so wise, why can't we talk about it? Why do we have to be silent? And here's the reason. Because in your silence, you transmit unbridled wisdom. The masters of the planet look you in the eye. And all that is yours. Because of their love and their compassion. And they say very little. Nature knows it, the animals know it, and they say very little. You can transmit love, compassion, and the wisdom to do it simply by walking where you've always walked and knowing who you are. It's almost like that wisdom and that light that comes from your Merkaba spreads itself wherever you go. And it touches others who will eventually ask you, how do you have peace over these things? I'm in the same condition you are, and all I see is that you are peaceful, and I'm not. And you can begin to talk to them about perhaps who they are, what they might examine that might give them a different idea, that they are not a victim of the world, that they are in control of who they are. And that would be your wisdom. And all of that is from your experience of walking from A to B because of who you are. This Merkaba of yours is going to play a bigger part than you know in the future. That's its design. That's why it's there. Think of the Merkaba as a multidimensional biology that has always been with you, that some have sensed from the beginning, and some have studied and taught about, but still you have no idea what's there. Unbridled wisdom is the ability to understand that you don't know what you think you know. Unbridled wisdom is the wisdom that wants to sit and be quiet and simply ponder the beauty of all it is, and be satisfied with that. The most exciting thing for a guru is to be quiet for a year. If you've ever studied that, if you've ever wanted to know what that's about, that's internal wisdom, unbridled, not self-congratulatory, but one that sits in quietness and absorbs everything else that's quiet. That's unbridled wisdom. That's when a fool knows they're a fool. And when someone opens the door with the key, humanity looks at them and says, I'd like a key also. And they smile and say, well, it just happens to be in your pocket, just like mine was. That is unbridled wisdom. The tools are inside, all of them. And collectively, the coherence that you can generate when you all realize it in one group is enormous. And what you can do collectively for this planet, even in your quietness and your silence, is enormous. And it redefines wisdom, what it is, where it's going, and it shows you what it is not. When it came to naming this structure, there were several names considered, but wisdom won. The idea would not be necessarily a church or an auditorium, but a temple was also on purpose, because it rings of sacredness and speaks of an attribute of the Creator. Neither of those things are attributes of humanity. Being built in a circle on purpose, just like the Lemurian teaching wheel, having the gems in the middle on purpose, because that is the great central sun. That is where it's all remembered and comes together. That's where energy is. Nothing is by accident in the room. All of these things, dear ones, are starting to be revealed in this age, in this time, which makes this particular structure extremely current. Not old, not filled with old ideas or old things, but built way in advance for something called the shift. There is so much going on here right now. How wise are you? Can you even begin to get in touch with this you call the cellular structure? And for those of you who are having difficulty, it's something that you're not taught in school, and you're not taught anywhere. You're not taught even in spiritual systems. Instead, you're taught to get a hold of a prophet. And now it's time for you to get a hold of the main prophet, you. In the same fashion, it starts with love, appreciation, honor. And that which is belief, can you believe that it's there, and it's inside, and it's wise, and it's always been part of that which is your, the confluence of energy called your Merkaba. Some of these things are hard to understand for those who would listen now and later. And what I want to tell you is, like any advanced teaching, there'll come a day when there's an aha, like in the last channel, when you learn to read. And then finally you understood you were reading. Right now, you're learning to be wise. And there'll come a time when you'll say, I am. I am that I am. Because now I know. That's where humanity is headed, in whatever speed it wishes to go there. That's the free choice of what it's like to have two steps forward and one back, of the battle of light and dark and duality that is in front of you, and where it's going from here. But I'll tell you, month after month, you're winning. You can see it. Don't be frightened if things seem different, dear ones. They are. Don't be frightened of change, because there will be. Instead, claim that wisdom which says, I expect the unexpected. I expect benevolent outcome. Because that's who I am. Be peaceful with the next step. We speak today from Delphi in the Temple of Wisdom. Again, in honor of those who created it, the forethinking of all that they did to put this place the way they put it. I had no idea that it was built for now and the future. And so it is.